Good morning, ladies. How are we doing today? That was kind of weak. How are we doing today? You guys, happy Holy Week. If you didn't know, it's Holy Week, which means it's the week that we lead up to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's an amazing week, and it's so fun that we get to do Bible study and be in the gospel together the week of Holy Week. So welcome if anyone's new or visiting. This is Ladies Bible Study. We do a little bit of worship, a little teaching time, and then we break away into groups to process whatever it is that God's teaching us, showing us, challenging us with. A few brief announcements for us today. The first one is that every week we take an offering. It just helps us pay for supplies. There is no obligation to give. It's a free will offering, but we tell everybody that every single week, so no one's surprised if your leader passes it around. So there'll be a little envelope going around if you want to give something awesome, if not awesome. So blessings on you as we give. A few announcements for us just to get ready in the spirit of Holy Week. We are having a Good Friday service this year right across the street in the South Sanctuary. And it's kind of a reflective, contemplative service where we get to really just sit in the suffering of Jesus on the cross. And what did it cost him for us to be free? And so that's going to happen at 5:30 and 7:30. No kids church or child care available for that, but I would love to invite you to that and your family and friends if anyone wants to. It's going to be just a time of reflection and meditation to prepare our hearts for Sunday. And if you haven't heard, we are going to do Easter at Pasadena Civic this year. So it's going to be a party. It's going to be awesome. Our church has lots of smaller services, so we're only going to offer two services on Easter Sunday, 9 and 11:30. So our whole family, the whole family of CA gets to worship in a big space. And so there's lots of space for friends, visitors, 8th, 9th, cousins. Bring your people. We're going to be there at the Pasadena Civic. So don't show up here Sunday or Saturday for service because we're all going to be in Pasadena. So mark your calendar for that. I told you that every single week you would get to hear from somebody new, and I keep my promises. So I have the privilege today of introducing a dear friend, a woman who loves Jesus, who is a true worshiper, and who just has a heart to make the gospel known. And so I want you to give a huge round of applause for my dear friend, Sarah Ann. Woohoo!
Thank you, Coley.
Sarah Ann is our Fusion Young Adults Pastor. Fusion is a community of 18 to 35, and she's amazing. She spoke last night and just brought the word of God, and so you are going to be blessed by her this morning. So if you would just do me a favor, would you extend a hand? We're going to pray for Sarah Ann before she gets to teach us this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you for just the woman that Sarah Ann is, Father. She is a daughter who is chasing after your glory, Father. And so I just pray you'd fill her afresh with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for the sweet word that you put on her heart, God, for us that I got to hear last night. But Lord, I just pray that it goes forth and bears much fruit, Lord. And so we bless Sarah Ann. We bless her life. We bless her family, Lord. Would you speak through her this morning in a way that's so tangible and real, like you're sitting right next to us, God. So fill her with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and give us ears to hear whatever it is in your word that you want us to hold on to today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Coley. Good morning, ladies. Happy, happy Holy Week. Some of you I know really, really well, and some of you I'm meeting for the first time. So, hello. Have you ladies ever noticed that the people who frustrate you the most are usually the people you love the most? Maybe it's your bestie or a family member. Maybe it's a funny thing that they do that peeves you, or maybe it's a habit you know is not good for them and you wish that they would stop it. It kind of makes your heart ache a little bit. It's because we want the best for those we love, and that's where we get all that passion from. Will you pray with me, ladies? Lord Jesus, what a sweet morning to worship you. I do pray that our time, not just our beautiful voices that were lifted up, but our time, our offerings, everything, God, would it just be a sweet fragrance to you? Your word, your beautiful Bible is so much more than enough, and I just pray your beautiful daughters receive it, that it just enrich their spirits. God, would you speak to all of us in Jesus' name? Amen. So, if you don't know me, I have to tell you, I'm a crazy cat lady. I have a beautiful tuxedo Maine Coon mix. He is this big from nose to tail. He's a massive, beautiful cat. He plays fetch. He's gorgeous. He's the goodest boy. His name is Charlie Chaplin because he has a little mustache. I love my cat. I love him so, so much. And he does this thing that drives me nuts because I love him so much. So if you're a pet person, you may already know that a lot of cats don't like to drink still water. If you give them just like a little bowl of water, they'll be like, ah. And that's why you see all over the internet different videos of cats like drinking out of the dishwasher or out of a bathtub and all of that because they want running water. It's actually like hardwired into them, like in their survival instincts, to drink running water. So if you're a wild cat, you drink from a stream, you don't drink still water. Also, if you're hiking and you run out of water, don't drink still water, drink from the stream. Just bonus. So Charlie Chaplin has this habit of drinking out of the sink, dirty dishwater, which is so crazy because literally right next to the sink, I have a beautiful fountain for him. We have this little stainless steel fountain that creates a river for him. It's like running water right next to the sink that's full of dishes that we just rinsed that are about to go in the dishwasher. But Charlie prefers to drink the dirty dishwater instead of his running water that we set aside that is good for him. Just that slight deviation goes from him being super healthy and hydrated to having a huge tummy ache and I have to clean it up afterwards. When we deviate from what's best for us, it can be really unhealthy. When we deviate from the gospel, it can be detrimental. Nearly 2,000 years ago, the churches in Galatia were deviating from the gospel, and the Apostle Paul caught wind of it. Apostle comes from the word apostolos, which means one who is sent, and Paul was sent by God to Galatia and loved the Galatian churches, and it really shows in this book. The book of Galatians is a passionate letter that Paul wrote around 47 or 50 ADCE to many of the churches in the region of Galatia. He had personally traveled on a mission trip to spread the good news or the gospel of Jesus. You can tell Paul's tone in the letter is super, super intense because his care for God's people and his passion for the truth of the gospel. He gets straight up salty with them, and I love it. He's like, I love you so much. What are you doing? Charlie, stop drinking dirty dishwater. The Galatian church was experiencing cultural division between Jews, people who were ethnically Jewish, and Gentiles, who would be literally everybody else, most of us in this room. And the people of that church were deviating from the truth of the gospel. That put a fire in Paul's belly, and it should put a fire in ours too. Throughout Paul's entire letter, or the entire book of Galatians, he circles back to the gospel over and over again. And in this chapter, Galatians 2, he puts it this way in verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Jesus didn't just die for Paul. He died for every one of us. And without the death of Jesus Christ, we would be permanently, eternally separated from God. Paul shares the gospel in this way to his letter to the church in Ephesus. In Ephesus 2:8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God, not a result of works, so that anyone may boast. And our first point of the day that I'd love for you to remember is the gospel is not about your performance. That's good news. The gospel is not about your performance. Jesus died so that we could inherit new life, his life. Paul goes on in Galatians to clarify to the specific Galatian church in verse 21. He says, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Whoa. Ladies, there's nothing you can do to earn salvation. There's nothing you can do to be made right with God or earn his love. We can only receive it by grace through faith. And this is part of why Paul was really frustrated with Peter, and he shares how he called Peter out earlier in his letter. Just so you know, we see Peter actually called a few different names in Galatians 2. Sometimes it's written out as Peter, which comes from the Greek Petros, which means rock, from Jesus. And Paul also calls him Cephas, which is rock in Aramaic. So Paul's calling his buddy out. He's like, Rocky, starting in Galatians 2:11. But when Cephas, Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. How many other people are really excited for friends who will call you out to your face? That's good news. He says, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. Just so you know, the circumcision party was a group of like super strict Jewish Christians that believed that in order to be a follower of Christ, you had to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses super, super strictly. But that's not what the gospel says. In verse 13, he goes on, he says, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Paul is getting salty with Peter because he loves him and he loves the church. And Peter's actions were influencing all the other people around him. Peter gave in to peer pressure. And though he started hanging out with and having dinner parties with all the people who weren't ethnically Jewish, sharing the gospel because God's gospel is for everyone, Jesus' blood is available to everyone, he ended up stopping sharing meals with people and spending time with Gentiles because he was swayed by the religious fanatics. He was worried what they would say or what it would do for his reputation. And I think that we can all relate to that. Our second point of today is, don't let culture get between you and the truth of the gospel. Romans 12:2 puts it this way, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Ladies, it can be super easy for us to compromise on the truth of God's word in order to fit into culture, especially a culture that rejects the Bible. We think that if we proclaim a watered-down gospel, society is going to accept us. It's like, oh, I don't want to say that thing because I know it'll offend this group of people. Ladies, I want you just to take a moment between you and the Lord. You can open up your workbooks and ask the Lord to reveal to you, is there a moment where you have been kind of living out a watered-down gospel or afraid that what God's word says is going to offend someone else? And did that make you act differently at your work, maybe with another family member, whatever that looks like? Are you compromising God's truth in order to please others? That can be just between you and the Lord. Go ahead and write that down so you can look at it in your homework throughout the week. But ladies, how do we avoid falling into that trap? We get rooted in the Word of God and in His church, in community with the family of God as His daughters. We surround ourselves with people who love Jesus and people who love you, people who will encourage you and kindly call you out if it's necessary. And ladies, I just want to say way to go, because you're literally doing that right now. You're seeking the Word of God. You're worshiping God in His house. You're surrounding yourself by other people seeking Jesus. You're going to unpack the truth of God's Word. So way to go. That's how we get rooted. That's how we stand on the foundation of the truth of the gospel. The truth is, we all long for justification, which is why sometimes we can give into peer pressure. But we can never be justified by the world around us or anything that we do. We can only be justified by Jesus. In Galatians 2:15, Paul puts it this way. He says, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have all believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Tim Mackey of the Bible Project, he's an amazing theologian, puts it this way, describing kind of what justification means. To be justified or declared righteous by God is to be in right relationship with God, forgiven, and given a place in God's family, and we realize the transformation by grace. That's what justification looks like. It's good to be one of God's daughters. In Galatians 2:17, Paul continues when he's talking about justification. He says, but if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not, salty Paul. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. And I think it's important to clarify, because we're talking a lot about the law. We're talking a lot about the law of Moses. And the law isn't a bad thing. The law is actually a huge gift. But it's not our salvation. Point number three is this. The gospel doesn't replace the law. It completes it. Jesus didn't overcome the law. He fulfilled it. And he says so in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come to abolish them, not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And he did. We get to celebrate that this week. Even before Jesus went to the cross, when Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness immediately following when he was baptized, Jesus walked out redemption of all the sins the Israelites committed in their 40 years in the wilderness. Every temptation Jesus encountered in his 40 days was a representation of overcoming a temptation that God's people failed. That includes us too. Those people failed to overcome those temptations, and they failed to live out the way of God's law. Ladies, we're not called to do away with God's law because it's foundational to our faith. Psalmists, prophets, even apostles share their love of God's law across the entire Bible. But the law isn't a checklist of steps that you need to take in order to earn salvation. It's not like if I get all these things done, then my life is perfect. If I do all of these things right, then I'm better. Mm-mm. Many people, including the circumcision party, believe that if you follow the law perfectly, you'd be holy. The law illustrates to us a portrait of what holy life looks like. And as God's family, we're meant to look at that law as a mirror. When we honestly look at ourselves against a picture of what holiness looks like, we're able to see our gaps, our shortcomings, and where we miss the mark. So God's people for years were trying to live up a perfect life. God mapped out, if you live this way, this is what holiness looks like because I'm calling you to be my people. But we will always fail. We can't live up to that. And God's showing us that because we can't live up to that, that's why we need him. Because we can only get holiness from him. So when we look at the law as that portrait of what holiness looks like, and we see that reflection, we see where we miss the mark, because we're not holy. And that's exactly what sin means. Sin literally means to miss the mark. It doesn't just mean do not murder, do not lie. It means don't drink dirty dishwasher. The dirty dishwasher, that's a deviation, missing the mark from what God has for you. The good news is when we inherit the life of Jesus, we get his life. And what's reflected back in the mirror is him. That's good news. When Jesus fills our gaps, when we put our faith in him, we see that reflection looking back at us, that Jesus reflection, and God sees Jesus' reflection, and he sees us as a member of his family, a daughter, inherited with the Son of God. Last week, Coley shared a little bit about Paul's radical transformation with Jesus and the power of sharing your personal story, your testimony. So I wanted to share some of my story with you ladies. So I am an eating disorder survivor. When I was 14, I gave into what's now called exercise bulimia. So I had some childhood trauma and then the death of my grandmother, and that triggered me to start following this path of trying to control, worshiping perfection. And what that looked like for me was running. So basically I'd take like one bite of cheesecake and then I'd self-punish on a treadmill for 3 miles or so. And I was worshiping an image that I thought that I was supposed to fit into. I was worshiping the idea that I could be God in my own life. I'm so grateful that God rescued me, because it got to the point where my bones were hollow. And I know that because I went to the doctor after breaking my wrist twice, and I have the scar from the surgery to prove it. But just like Paul experienced God breaking in, I believe that's what I experienced too. I'm grateful that God literally broke me and that I experienced him. He's like, stop. Stop punishing yourself. Stop trying to earn what perfection is. Stop trying to be God in your own life. Stop trying to please others. And I met him. And ladies, most people don't get better from eating disorders. That's true. And I am so grateful that I've been delivered of that. Because the mirror that I was looking into, I was seeing a distorted, ugly image. Body dysmorphia is horrible. And Jesus met me, and I received him again. And now that image that I saw looking in the mirror was his beautiful daughter. And I can only do that because he filled all my gaps. After I was healed from my eating disorder, I actually spent 15 years with chronic illness, chronic pain, all kinds of different things. You name it, I have had it and been healed from it. And I even experienced paralysis, complete paralysis, including Bell's palsy. So I went from running away from God to getting better to going through a crazy journey and not being able to walk across the room. God healed me of that too. I'm standing here on this stage, which is absolutely amazing. It's all God. But also, I was invited to run again. And I remember my sweet husband, he's like, hey, come to running group, come to running group. I was like, okay, but I was really nervous. And I shuddered away and I was like, no, I can't do that. I can't go back there. I can't self-punish. That's my thing. I will not do it. And I prayed about it for weeks and he kept inviting me. Also, if you're inviting someone, don't just invite them once. Keep inviting them over and over. But he finally invited me, and the Lord's like, I want you to go. So I was like, okay. And on my way to running group, I cried. I was terrified. I was like, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go to that place where I was literally killing myself slowly, where life, sin was eating away at me. And I prayed. I was like, Lord, help me. I literally prayed. I was like, Lord, will you fill my legs? And he said, this is a redemption story. Because just like the law, exercise is not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. But when we idolize something that should take God's love, it can be very, very damaging. But God said, I'm going to redeem this. And he said, sweet daughter, this is a new way you're going to worship me. So I'm going to take this thing that was stealing your life and teach you how to praise me with it. And I got to running group. And I ran with God. And if any of you have ever done a prayer walk, I prayer run. I pray for you guys. And I felt the presence of the Lord, and I heard him speak to me, and I ran as hard as I could, 5 straight miles without stopping after not running for 15 years, praising the Lord for all the miracles he's done in my life and around me. Ladies, we need to give these things back to God, but only he can make us holy. I was a person who was giving in to peer pressure and what culture around me was saying that I should do. I was giving in to, hey, I can earn my salvation by performance, just trying to perform. And I was deviating from what God's best for me was. But we turn back. We return. He restores. He redeems. And if we choose to give our life to him, we inherit his life, and that's how we become his daughters. I want to read the truth of the gospel that Paul wrote over you one more time in Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. The old Paul is dead. The new Paul is here in Jesus. He says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. But ladies, Christ did die on purpose. He died for every single one of us, for every way that we miss the mark, for every single gap that we have, for every shortcoming, for every sin, for every way that we seek something else when we should be seeking Jesus. Jesus died on purpose for us. And all that sin, all that brokenness, we get to let die and inherit his life instead. And sweet daughters, would you receive that again today? New mercies. And if there's a friend in this room who wants to start that journey with Jesus, who wants to say, I want to be a daughter of God. I want to let go of all these things that have been eating away at my life and inherit perfect, holy life, you can pray this prayer with me. You can say, Jesus, you are holy. You are perfect. You died on purpose for me. But I can never be holy without you. No matter how hard I try, no matter what my performance looks like, I will always miss the mark. Would you fill in my gaps? Would you give me new life? Could I become a daughter of God because you're the Son of God and I get to inherit that with you? I give you my life and I vow to follow you the rest of my days so that I can live with you in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, ladies, bless you. Would you, oh, thanks, sweet friend. If you need a group, come see Coley. And yeah, happy Holy Week.